Blog Talk Radio.
You know what it's all about, my soul!
Definitely about the boom of professional wrestling right here at FTW Future Focus. I am your host, the Mastermind Bob Rogers. With me today, we got two of our co-hosts. First off, living in Indianapolis, Indiana, formerly and by way of Chicago, Illinois. He is the crazy one, the other crazy one, the cigar smoking. Female poking Tony Motel. What's up, man?
Not too much, man. How you feeling?
Yeah, we got the NFL all right now. Who you picking, man?
Kansas City. I'm actually picking San Francisco to go to the Super Bowl.
I'm kind of like, I want to see San Francisco versus Cincinnati, but I don't know if that's going to happen. I think Kansas City is going to route them, unfortunately.
To be honest with you, Joe Burrow is for real, but yeah, I just don't see them getting past Kansas City, though.
Yeah, that dude is like Jordan. He got that Jordan element to him.
Yeah.
You're making me smile. But also on the sticks here, we got your not so humble correspondent, the man with the golden voice. He's the vice president of FTW, and also he ring announces for NWP on IWTV and Fight TV and all type of other internet TV that I can't say correctly right now. I don't know why. is Robert Black. What's up, Robert Black?
Hey, Bobby. How you doing tonight? My conference game was last night, and unfortunately, nobody's going to the Super Bowl.
Oh.
Man.
Well, wow. Yeah. Yeah, he's in for it. He already texted me. He's in for it tonight. So he's got a list. He's checked it twice. He don't care if you're naughty or nice. He about to get you. So
yeah. I mean, I wish that I could say that I'm as angry as I was last night, but the thing is, I'm more sad now than I was, but no, I'm still raring to go here, but I'm more sad at the situation at hand than angry but we'll get there.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, of course, would it be a playoff day today? Yesterday was the official start of the road to WrestleMania. We're going to start off with the Royal Rumble results. Talk a little bit about them, and then, we're going to discuss some other stuff.
Can I point out one good thing about the Rumble, my absolutely favorite thing about the Rumble?
Do you want to spoil it now? Because that's probably the only thing.
Yeah, because I figured, like, let's start it off on a good note before we hit all the other stuff. Absolutely love the fact that it was on a Saturday. These pay-per-views are going way too damn long. On a Sunday when I got work the next day, I prefer to be on a Saturday where, like, if it goes as late as it does, I don't have to get up for work the next day. So That's the one decision Vince McMahon did that I absolutely love, was putting it on Saturday.
But I got a question.
And that, okay.
Yeah. With saying that, hasn't AEW put their special programs on Saturday first already,
yeah,
though?
Oh, yeah.
So
AEW,
it goes back to my thing.
And I absolutely loved it when they did it.
Yeah, but it goes back to my theory that I've said out here before. People have said, and they've sent me, like, literally emails saying, you're nuts. WWE doesn't copy off of anybody. Yeah, WWE, when there's competition that can feed off of it and then reinvent it as their own, they do it all the time. All the time. 80% of WWE is remade from somebody else.
But I don't think this move was a copy in AEW. It is definitely a competition move. I don't think Vince McMahon wanted to go up against Conference Championship Sunday. I thought it was more because of football than AEW.
Well, I'm hoping that that's the fact. I mean, I would rather that they did pay-per-views on Saturday, because then we can talk about the pay-per-view wind up on the podcast. That would be fine,
yeah,
with me. But Bobby, you're right in a sense. It takes them a while to do it. They have to be convinced that it's the money making strategy. But yeah, WWE and WWF before it have copied their competition in several ways. I mean, the Attitude Era happened because ECW existed. Without that template, we never would have gotten what we got during the Monday Night Wars. So
that's exactly right.
No, you're definitely right
about
that.
But also, I mean, another example is DX's Suck It. Came from Mexico. I've said that plenty of times. You know,
mm-hmm,
the highlighting of the high flyer.
I heard NWO came from Japan, right? Or I heard there was a version of NWO before Eric Bischoff did it.
I heard it was, too, but I've never been able to find it, and that's something I'm on the hunt for.
Okay, cool, because I never actually seen any of it. It's just always what I've heard, but never actually seen it.
But there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of confusion about this topic. I've heard this, too. The easiest way that I can explain it is that shortly after Eric Bischoff was put in charge of WCW, he was in Japan to see stuff they were doing, and they were doing faction stuff at that time and invasion stuff, because they were more apt to interpromotional stuff between New Japan and All Japan than in the United States in the 90s. So when Bischoff saw that stuff, he brought it back to the States, and it eventually coalesced into the NWO. And then later on, the NWO became a template for the Bullet Club. And now that whole germ has permeated the industry to where nobody can tell where it started anymore.
Well, that's true. My whole thing, though, if you want to take something, it makes more sense to take it from, like, Japan or Mexico, where a place where eyes are not on. Like I think it's kind of dumb for either any company. Like, you got right now, it's like WWE and AEW. You
mm-hmm.
got eyes on both products, so it's kind of you're kind of cheaper your product if you're stealing from them. Versus, like, okay, if you take something from Japan, most eyes are not on Japan over here in the U.S. So for us, it's going to be new.
Right.
And basically, a lot of things.
Let me point out, while we're on this part, let me point out something. It's not only Japan, though. They do it to the independents as well. Now, perfect example. I'm sure Rob would know this more than anybody, that you remember Sean Spears. Actually, I think he did a show here was it Bizarro Wrestling? This little promotion, well, I can't say it's a little promotion, but it's another promotion that was out here called Bizarro Wrestling. I might be wrong. But Sean Spears wrestled somewhere out here, and he was not called the chairman. But guess who was at that same show?
I don't know.
Joey the Kid Owens.
Uh-huh. Well, see, gimmick theft is nothing new in wrestling either. And somebody doing something on the independent circuit that can get picked up and filtered onto the national scene or onto the international scene, and everybody starts doing it I hate to say it like this, but it's like a virus, and it permeates everything. And look at the Canadian Destroyer, for example. Petey Williams started doing that in TNA, and it was so awesome looking that everybody started doing it, and it used to be a match killer. Nobody kicked out of the Canadian Destroyer, but there are people that... Yeah, and there are people that do kick out of the Panama Sunrise now, and now that move has three or four different names.
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely true. Let's get on with these matches, and God forbid, I can say this. I am glad to talk about this first match, Reigns versus Seth Rollins. My goodness, this was on point. I had no complaints about this match whatsoever. I knew Reigns was going to win this match, but the way he won it flipped me out. If you remember, I said, what the heck is going to happen with Paul Lee? And again, he does something to influence this match that gives it another twist. It's like another level of hot sauce, you know? And I was thoroughly pleased with this match. This is the one thing I can say positive about the show last night. That Reigns Rollins match was psychology 304. You better be a junior in college to take that course. That was on point. That was a master class. It had Paul E's hands all over it. This is beautiful. I cannot say more.
For me, I love the match itself. I don't like the DQ ending, but it made more sense with the way the pay-per-view ended. So I get where you're coming from.
Okay, well,
what's your thoughts on it?
I can't say that I was as impressed with it as you were, but I do. Number one, it was the match of the night. Give it that.
Definitely
number
was.
Two, you are right about the psych.
Oh, go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
No.
Are you there?
I'm still here. But yes, it was the match of the night. And you are right about the psychology of the match. And I'm not as bothered by the ending, because if we're going to establish that a five count by the referee on the rope break means an automatic DQ, that's like the first time that I've seen it enforced in like 5 years. So the psychology of the match was on point. It's just that I didn't see anything new or groundbreaking with Rollins or Reigns. Now, that doesn't mean that every time that they fight, it has to be like some kind of innovative masterpiece. But it was the best match on this card. My only problem with it is that it didn't seem like they were ending anything. It was like they were putting it on hold. and they're putting it on hold so that Reigns can stay a heel and that they can do the bigger program and that Seth Rollins feels like an afterthought. That's my only problem with the whole dynamic of the match. Everything within the match itself was spot on.
I got you. Now, this is why I like this match. Go ahead. Because I'm going to say something that's going to probably make you mad but blow your hair back at the same time. So go ahead.
I mean, here's the only reason I didn't like the finish. It's just like, and it's just kind of like my feeling towards like big matches. This is a title match. It's a big four pay-per-view. You have people that spend a lot of money for it. I kind of like to see it. I don't want a championship match to end with a five-count DQ. And especially because it was such a phenomenal match. I thought they could have been a little bit more creative. You could have had like a shady finish that was like a cheap finish to a great match.
All right. Can I say something on this one now?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is why I loved this. And it's going to tick you off at the end when I'm predicting it's going to happen. But it's something that is going to, honestly, if they do this, now they might not do this. They might have started to try to do this, and then they're going to throw it away in a couple of months. Who knows? This is the way I see this is going, okay? Lesnar underestimated Lashley, and we'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
Reigns, of course, was so preoccupied about getting his revenge on Seth Rollins for what he did at the with the Shield, which was never, ever resolved. It was never resolved. And I still don't think it's resolved. This is what I see happening. They have literally set up their WrestleMania main event last night. It's not going to be to where Lashley is going to fight somebody and Lesnar's going to fight somebody. Lesnar's ticked off. Lesnar's like, hold on, Bobby, I meet you one time and you beat me. Who do you think you are? No, we're not going to do that stuff. Roman Reigns is like, I'm the tribal chief. I come out on top everywhere. But you also have Seth Rollins that says, I want that revenge for what he pulled on me because I know I pulled it on him first. But you don't ever get over on me. That's always been Seth Rollins' thing. He's the architect. It's going to be either a three-way between Lesnar, Lashley. Let me count these people right. Lesnar, Lashley, and Rollins, yeah. It's going to be a three-way. Lesnar, Lashley, and Robin. No, and then Reigns. Sorry, it's going to be a four-way. It's going to be a three-way between Lesnar, Lashley, and Reigns, or it's going to be a four-way with Lesnar, Lashley, Reigns, and Rollins. And what they're doing is they're going to put both belts together, and Reigns is going to walk off with both titles. That is the only thing he hasn't done since he became champ, is held both belts. They're going to do that. They're trying to put Reigns over as the most decorated this, that, and the other. He's going to be not only Bobby Lashley, he's not only going to beat Brock Lesnar, but he's going to beat his own nemesis, Seth Rollins, all at the same time to be that ultimate champion. And I like the way they put this in focus. This got me interested. This woke me, I was like, oh, God, oh, I see this. Then you got the Heyman dynamic into it. You got the MVP dynamic. You got a whole host of players right there that's going to make this story to where Roman Reigns is going to come out looking like the golden child. And he's going to walk off with both belts. That's what I see with this setup. And with them doing that, I can't help but applaud them, because it was a smart.
Whoa! Hold your applause, because we don't know if they're going down that road yet. So don't applaud them just yet.
No, I'm saying if they do.
Okay.
It's smart. It is genius to do that. And guess who would set that up? Guess who would be the one of the few people in that company that could think that complex and pull something like that off?
Only one could come up with that is Paul Heyman, though, but I don't know if they're going to listen to him.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
That's definitely something that Paul Heyman would come up with.
Yes. Mm. So I predict, I'm saying this now, I predict it's going to be a three-way or four-way match at WrestleMania for both titles.
I just don't see them unifying the titles. They need to. They definitely need to. Like,
they're gonna do it all over the board.
Okay.
That's gonna be the event where they unify all their titles. Except you can't unify the female titles because it's only one. The female tag titles.
Yeah, not the female tag titles, but you could definitely. If you unify the women's titles, then that means you got triple threat for that.
Yeah, I could actually see them redeeming themselves and have Bianca Belair come out on top of that for the same reasons.
Okay, gentlemen, here's the big problem, and I'm sorry to have to be the one to hawk the loogie into this lovely milkshake here. The problem. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. You're mm-hmm. thinking logically,
yeah.
both of you. You are thinking logically. The WWE creative does not think logically, okay? These are people who could, pardon my French, people who could fuck up a cup of coffee, all right? And I'm sorry to F-bomb here in the middle of a... I hope that's... I get one, right?
You got one.
I think we all get one.
Okay. That'll be my one for the night. Okay, but what you guys are saying, and what you are the conclusion that you're coming to, is the logical conclusion that fits the facts on the ground. But I don't think it's going to happen that way. What we're going to end up with, we're probably going to get 2 3-ways at the main event for WrestleMania, 2 triple threat matches for your double main event.
Oh.
It's going to end up being.
I got real happy. You said 3-way. I got happy.
I can't have more than one F-bomb. Okay. Let's rephrase that. There will be 2 main event matches for WrestleMania. One of them is going to be Lesnar, Lashley, and Reigns. And what I think they're going to do is they're going to wait to pull the trigger on Rollins because it's too late and they don't see it. And I hate to say this, but I really think that they're going to they're going to do away with the big blueberry, and they are going to put the undisputed title on Lesnar again.
You think Lesnar's going to do it?
Yes.
I don't think so.
You know the only reason that makes me say no to Lesnar? Money. They're cutting down on water at the WWE. What would they want him to get all that money with all those appearances? It's just not going to happen.
Because they think that he is the only bullet they can chamber.
But he doesn't need the title for that bullet, though. That's my point.
Hogan didn't need the title in 1992. So
Hold on. I got to disagree with you on that one. Vince McMahon was convinced he needed Hogan for that title back then. He was convinced he did. Now he's not that convinced because you have more of the, what does Jim Cornette say, of the guys that you can replace with another person so interchangeably. That's the difference. That's why I say Lesnar is not going to do it. Lesnar thinks he's getting over right now. Vince McMahon is just saying, just wait. You know what I'm saying?
Well, like I said, you're
the triple threat with those three. I still don't know if they're going to pull the trigger on unifying the title. They need to, though. But I think Reigns would be the one coming out on that. I mean, Reigns has been the project for the last 2 years. Everybody hated him, and they have done a phenomenal job getting that man over, and it's largely because of Paul Heyman. If they keep Paul Heyman with Roman Reigns will continue his dominant run and walk out of WrestleMania with the title.
Yeah, but they've invested so much in Lesnar that it's hard to see how they would waste that much money after putting that much investment into him.
But you don't have to put the title on him to get your return on investment with him, though.
Right. That's
hardly there, though. So people are going to mark, whether he got the title or not, people are going to mark out when he shows up or not.
Well,
I don't know how much they're going to mark out with him not having Heyman. I don't think Lesnar is valuable without Paul Heyman in his corner. Paul Heyman kept him relevant.
That's their
when
mistake.
He wasn't there.
That is exactly, and that's their mistake. They're pulling Paul Heyman off of him, putting him with which I understand Reigns is a more long-term project. And, I mean, yeah, I see why they would pull him off, but at the same time, you know,
I wish they would have did it more of a, like, guessing on if it was intentional or not, kind of making, like, a more of a, was it an accident, was it intentional type swerve? It kind of kept us guessing on, like, whose side is he on versus, like, just flat out, like, okay,
yeah,
straight out turn on Brock.
Well, like I said, you guys are thinking logically, and unfortunately, I get the feeling that in the offices of Connecticut, I'm not really sure whether logic applies in any of these scenarios. What we think would make money and would be entertaining and what those guys think will make money and be entertaining could be completely different universes, so to speak.
That is true. All right, let's get to the rest of this card real quick. Let's get in. We can come back to this. Let's get through with the rest of this. Match 2, Women's Royal Rumble. The winner... And if I knew she was coming back, I would have picked her. But it wasn't definite. There was no way to even know she was coming back, and it's Ronda Rousey.
There was no way to know, like, half the women were going to be there. And there were so many rumors, and a lot of women who were, well, some rumors didn't show up at all. So this is hard to pick.
Right. Yeah. I hated Melina. I thought they did her wrong. That spot that she had was so short. Till, you know, I mean, golly, Itch could probably be taller than that spot. I mean,
it was a short spot, but I did like seeing Melina in a split again.
Oh yeah, that's always beautiful.
Oh yeah,
I mean, yeah.
Am I the only person who thinks that the Rumble match itself is becoming formulaic? I mean, I was trying to it seemed to me like the every year the times between the entrances keep getting shorter and shorter. The 90-second thing is long gone. It's like
Rumble is more about the countdown now than the match itself. And I felt, and it's funny because I was watching with my buddy yesterday in Chicago. We kind of talked about the same thing. It was like 90 seconds. Like, and we're probably a couple of years away from being a minute.
Right, like, because the way it looked, you start out with 1 and 2, then you start the countdowns. The new entrant gets like one burst of like 2 or 3 moves apiece, and then they're on to the next count. I mean,
it like takes some of them 30 seconds to get to the ring. So by the time they even get in, we got a minute before the next person coming out.
Right, it gets a little bit ridiculous. You get the person that comes, the new entrant gets like three or four moves uninhibited, and then they get caught, and then the countdown for the next person's already started, and I will give the Women's Rumble this: there was nothing ridiculous in the Women's Rumble. It was...
Oh, I got to disagree.
There was nothing comedically ridiculous in the Women's Rumble that I could think of. I agree.
It was so sad that you couldn't be funny. It couldn't be funny.
The only brief
I will give you that 100%. It
was
so
Bobby
sad
Holly
that you could not
Hicks.
Laugh.
But anyway,
give me a break.
Well, okay. Granted, the Bella Twins were certainly didn't light up anybody's life last night, unless you were like. Living for the 2000s or something, and the Bella Twins were a poster on your wall. They weren't lighting up anybody's world last night.
Lita really didn't do it for me either.
Lita's good, but she's a part timer now, and you know that's everything in the Women's Rumble we've seen already last night, including the surprise entrant winner, and I was none too pleased to see Ronda Rousey, because we all know where this is going, and I said this years ago. I hate the idea of the WWE becoming Dana White's retirement home for washed-up UFC fighters. You know, when they can't do shoot fighting anymore, then they go to the WWE and they get pushed because they were shoot fighters and nobody on the roster can beat them.
But
so,
here's my problem with that, though. Like, okay, I don't mind, like, it being a retirement home for the shoot fighters, though. But then they get there and Vince acts like he can't carry anybody else other than them, though. Like, you have Brock Lesnar, who's been on top for so long. Like, Ronda Rousey could come through here and shit on the entire women's division, win the title of Mania, and keep it until her contract is over and she's going to go do something else. It just felt like they're shitting on their wrestlers.
Yeah. Exactly, and nobody wins because the UFC looks bad because the UFC fighters look bad because, hey, you're going off and doing the fake stuff, and then and the WWE looks bad because the UFC people come in and dominate what should be their time, and Vince McMahon
and
Dana White.
It makes it look like the UFC is better than WWE.
Yeah, it makes everybody involved look terrible.
Oh my God,
especially
thank you.
The wrestlers.
Thank you very much. Oh, thank you. Because I've always said that, and people looked at me like I was crazy. I have always said that.
Oh my God, it's terrible. And it really doesn't help that we know that Ronda Rousey is going to WrestleMania and that we're going to get a rematch of 35, only this time she's going over. And, you know, that was the original plan to begin with, and Vince wants to repeat just so he can get his way.
And the button, Charlotte.
Well... Yeah, something like that.
I mean, think about it. She hasn't been punished yet. It's
not
coming.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Which I'm disappointed.
And this is her punishment. But, ladies and gentlemen, let me go ahead and introduce someone. She is the lady of MSG. I mean, the Motown Wrestling Group on Facebook. I can't say it to save my life. She has a lovely Ty.
So we got the two groups.
Ty, what's going on?
First of all, let me start by saying WWE can go fuck themselves, because I just read an article before I came in here.
She just started
saying
right
that
off.
Jeff,
God.
All right. What time is it? For the show.
Let me finish, please.
We're going to get into that, Ty. We're going to get into that after we get through with these matches. We're going to run through the matches, and then we're going to get to that. Hold your horses.
Because
I'm there,
you
too.
You guys can talk about.
I'm there, too.
I know. Y'all can talk about the matches. I don't want to talk about the matches because I'm going to tell you now, 2 out of the 3 matches from the Rumble fucking sucked. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah. Let's get on with these matches. Match 3, Doudrop versus...
Real quick, though. One thing I did like that they did in the Women's Royal Rumble is I like the fact that Mickie James came out with her title.
That's the only thing I liked. She came out with the title, and she came out with the Impact Knockouts Championship.
I thought that was really cool.
I'm not, because I know money has changed hands, and it was bullshit, and that's the only way they could have filled the spot. So, yeah, they're biting off AEW. Don't, I ain't worried about it. Match 3. Doudrop versus Carrot Top. I'm sorry, Becky Lynch.
Okay, can I use my 1-5 for the show now? Fuck that bitch.
You said what?
I thought that was some BS. I get you're going to keep the title on Becky. I get that. She didn't have to beat her queen. The girl's a heel. Have her heel win in the heel fashion. Nope. I hated this match. Absolutely hated it. You could have kept the title on Becky and kept Doudrop looking strong, because in your division, it's nice to have a dominant, strong heel. They dropped the ball on that big time. F the WWE and F that Becky Lynch on that match.
Everybody knows how I feel about Doudrop.
She did not have to beat her queen like that. No way. That does nothing for Doudrop.
They could have made her look like more of a threat. Yeah, they most definitely could have made Vivian. They certainly could have made Piper Niven look like a bigger threat. Unfortunately, they want to stick with Becky because of the proven marketability and because they want that triple threat rematch. But, this match did Doudrop no favors, and it basically set her back. And the only reason she got the token was that people demanded it.
People demanded it?
I'm going to save my comments for later because it's one of the subjects we're going to talk about a little bit later, too. Match 4. Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar. There are miracles. And Lashley just developed a miracle last night.
Well, with this match, I had the opposite feeling that I had on the Roman Reigns Seth Rollins match. So that match, I absolutely loved the match. I just didn't like how it finished. I love the psychology at the end. I love the ending of this match, but overall, I did not like the match at all, though. I did not like these two in the ring at all. And I'm not sure, maybe I was expecting more because we waited so many years for it, though, but I thought the match was really bad. But it had a great finish, and the finish was phenomenal, which was good because it kind of outshadowed the match.
Rob, what did you do?
Okay. Oh, God. Okay, here we go. I agree with Tony that the storyline that finished out the match was a lot better than it had any reason to be. For years, I have done the same thing with Brock Lesnar matches and with Goldberg matches. I time the entrance. And 9 times out of 10, the entrance is longer than the match itself. And the only reason that I was wrong this time is because there was a whole lot of stalling at the beginning of this match that kind of prolonged the clock. If they had gone into the typical Brock Lesnar match, which is suplex, suplex, Hope Spot Suplex F5, we probably would have gotten like maybe 2.5-3 minutes at best. But Lashley slowed the match down to where it lasted about as long as the hype package video that they did of Lesnar and Lashley's careers. That's about how long the match lasted.
But they stressed it out like that because Lesnar was dropping the belt. They didn't want Lesnar to lose quickly.
Well, yeah, see, that's another thing. You can always tell if Lesnar is going to do the job because the match lasts longer.
Yeah.
You know, that is just everything about Lesnar in his WWE run has driven me absolutely insane, and that's why I pay money to see his matches anymore. I saw last night's show for free. I'm not going to tell you how.
Let me get into this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, as being a big dude, all right, and, of course, I was being taught the big man style, which I did, you know. I did, too, sort of effective. I wasn't perfect at it. But, honestly, this is what the bitch band match was supposed to do. They weren't supposed to rush it. They're supposed to sit up there and show what their strengths and what they can do and blah, blah, blah. Lesnar took over at the perfect time. Lesnar did what he was supposed to do. Lashley did what he was supposed to do. I don't have that much of a problem because I understand what they were. I had to experience it myself. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
Where you do want to go and you do want to, you know, go for 100 miles. Well, think about the rest of their car. All of them are doing that. You know, when it's a big man, it's a big man. Ram your heads together, shake it off, look at each other. Oh, yeah, I still ain't intimidated by you. I ain't intimidated by you either. Ram the heads again, shake it off. You know what I'm saying? And that's the way it went down. I can't complain about that. I can't complain about the speed of this match because it wasn't supposed to be a speed match. You know, it was supposed to be what it was, and they gave him. I'm actually proud of Lesnar because he did a lot of storytelling in this match that shocked the heck out of me. And I'm like, Lesnar, I knew Bobby Lashley could do it. You do that from TNA and stuff, you know. But Lesnar actually impressed the hell out of me in this damn match because I'm not used to seeing him having to tell a story like that. And that's what's awesome, is Lesnar literally helped tell the story on it so well. It was ridiculous.
Bobby, there's two things that you're overlooking. Number one, like Tony was saying with the Reigns-Rollins match, Heyman's fingerprints were all over that. This match was like heavily influenced by Paul Heyman, and the ending indicates that the storyline aspect of it where Reigns got involved. Number two, I think that the reason that he was able to do the things that he did in this match, which I agree are not typical Brock Lesnar things, because Brock Lesnar is selfish in the ring. I think that Lashley was calling most of that match. He didn't let Lesnar bulldoze him like he has everybody else on the whole damn roster. And that was
Hold on. What's that point? Who on that roster could honestly do that? You have nobody else. Roman Reigns ain't going to sit up there and do that to Lesnar. Lesnar put his ass in check, which I don't know how, because I honestly think if they got into a fight, a real fight, I think Lesnar would get his butt whooped in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah.
He's a marshmallow. I'm sorry. I don't think Lesnar is this brute force dude. I don't care if he was in UFC or not. You know, I see that through Lesnar. Yeah, it could happen. Lashley's the only one that's going to step up and say, are you crazy? You think that's going to happen? No, this is what we're going to do. This is what's going to happen. And I think that they traded off at the, okay, I'm going to, and that was, I think that was Lashley and Heyman. Both of them was like, look, you have a guy that's just as big as you, if not stronger than you, and has a better MMA record than you, if you want to try to pull that out of your head.
Honestly, though, let's not leave MVP out on the book and on this, too, now.
Oh, no, MVP was definitely in on that one. He was not letting Lashley go down on some bullshit or win that belt on some bullshit. That was MVP too. You are absolutely right on that. But Bobby Lashley is the only person in that company that can have that happen because everybody else is too young. You got Boogs that's just strong as hell. I mean, he's goofy as hell, but he's stronger than an ox. I think he can hold his own with Lesnar. You got Braun Breaker that's not even that hasn't even came up yet. I think he could hang with Lesnar, and he's got the lineage to go behind him so the story could go right. You have just very
only
few people. Yeah, you only have Big E. They could do that right if they would stop screwing that around, and we'll get to that in a bit. You only have very limited people that can pull that off. Lashley could adopt and wrestle a lot of different people. Lesnar can't. Lesnar doesn't have the adaptability skill. And to me, that's why Lesnar should not be champion ever over Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley should be their main focus guy. He should be on the posters. He should be on all your commercials. He should be on your ice cream bars. Actually, they should make a special chocolate ice cream bar. I'm serious. They should make a special chocolate ice cream bar just for Bobby Lashley. And he should be the face of the company. And they're going on this Lesnar crap. Go back on the farm. Raise corn, cattle, wrestle steer, bang sheep, whatever you do.
Oh.
We don't need to call them stable names.
How am I calling them names?
Sable. We don't need to call her a sheep.
Oh,
no, that was a dog. I was talking about the sheep.
Oh, my God. Wow. Okay.
I'm just saying.
I didn't think that Sable was that unattractive, but anyway,
Sable looks like a melted Barbie doll.
That's the problem with Sable. With all the cosmetic surgery, when you combine the cosmetic surgery with age, it's not a good mix.
I haven't even seen Sable since the 1990s, so I can't judge by my appearance. But I'm definitely
years,
not
I
looking
like,
her up.
I have
Hold
seen
on,
her
wait a
like.
I would have to say this straight up. When you walk into a plastic surgeon's office and when all of his utensils say, "Hey, I know you from somewhere," that's a problem. Just straight up.
Yeah.
When all of his utensils and all of his medication can look at that person and say, "Yeah, did we meet a year ago? We got a problem."
Have I seen your face somewhere before? I hope so. I put it on your skull.
You know?
Yeah.
No, it's true.
Stretched that skin before, but never mind. What I'm trying to say is that Lesnar should be. Lesnar should be able to have a good match with anybody. He's capable of doing it, but he never gives anything to somebody who's smaller than him. And he and he could have great matches with guys the size of Kingston, Ricochet, and a whole host of other people on that roster, but he's just too damn selfish. It's the only time he gives any kind of effort to have a good match is when he's in there with somebody as big as Lashley, and it drives me nuts. And that's why I never want to see him again.
I don't know if that's Lesnar or if that's Vince, to be honest with you.
Well, it could be a combination of the two. But Lesnar could override that, though. He could go to the management and say, hey, I want to have a good 10-minute match with Kofi Kingston or Big E. And that could happen because he's got that kind of pull.
Yeah, I would see them listening more to Big E than they would Kofi.
Yeah. I could too, but I honestly thought that Kofi had a better run than Big E, though.
Well, yeah, Big E got cut up. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a bit. That's further down the line. That's what I want to get through with these matches, because we got to get to the meat of stuff. These matches,
the
mixed tag match. Yeah. Edge. And, oh, my God, Beth Phoenix. Whew. Brought back a teenage crush right there. I can't say teenage, but younger crush right there. Yeah, Beth Phoenix and Edge taking on The Miz and Maryse. Yeah. Do we really got to talk about this match?
No, we don't. Maryse looked great, though, in that outfit.
Dude, what the heck did you have in that cigar, bro?
Oh.
I'm sorry, Tony. I can't stand Maryse. I can't stand her. No, she did not look good to me at all. I wanted to puke when she got on TV. And we're not even talking about when she talks. We just talk about her looking. She's plastic, too. I can't stand her.
She's definitely all plastic.
That plastic stuff, I can't hang with it. No. 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 And she is the epitome of plastic. She's next to Sable. Rank number one is Sable. Rank number two is Maryse. I don't know if they're part of the WWE. I don't know if their chairs are next to each other or with signs on them or what. But no, Carmella is third.
Carmella could be second.
I mean, they got a basketball team for them plastic surgeons. I'm telling you.
And
that match was terrible. There's no way in God's green earth you could convince me that Beth Phoenix and Ed should have lost. No way in hell. No way in hell. I don't care if she pulled out 15 bricks and built a house after she hit her with it.
I mean,
it should have never went down like that.
No, I mean, that's the thing with that match is, like, from beginning to end, I mean, when I say from beginning, I'm talking from the beginning of the feud to the end, nobody in their right minds, no matter what, will honestly think that them two could be Ed and Beth, which is why this other match was a waste of time because it's like, there was no way. No way.
Mm-mm.
You have a hard time convincing me that Miz could beat Beth.
You're right.
Yeah, I mean,
you're 100%
the only,
right.
Yeah, the only reason this match existed was to further promote the reality show. That's about the only reason it existed. As far as the quality goes, it was not a great match by any stretch of the imagination, but for me it was the second best match of the night by default.
That's
no. No. I couldn't even do that.
I've got certain problems with the men's Rumble match that made this my second thing made this the second best match by default. But let's just say that's not a compliment.
No, it's not.
I'm about to say something real quick. There's one thing Maurice needs to do when it comes to professional wrestling that is in the word quality, and that's quit. Maurice is terrible. She had a brick in her hand. Did you see how she swung it to hit her or hit him? It was terrible. My daughter, when she was 4 years old, could swing a bat better than she could swing that brick.
Maurice was nowhere near in ring shape. And that's why The Miz did like nine... I can't argue with that. But she's even in less ring shape now. That's why Miz did most of the work in the match.
What work did she do but get in there and flick her hair back and pose? That's the only thing she did in that match. Everything else was like crap. It wasn't even like the hard crap. It was that ready diarrhea crap. That's what that was.
Well, she took a few bumps and she tried to not explode from the front all over the ring. That's basically what she did.
She should have took all the bumps.
Okay, but I say it was the worst match of the night, though. But I look at the card, though. I might put the Becky Lynch boot drop match below this one. But they both they both were horrible.
Well, let's go on to the next one because I'm gonna start getting a headache off of thinking about that Maurice match. Men's Royal Rumble. Winner of it is. Well, I threw my pen across the room and said, what the hell? But then I had to pick it up and say, wait a minute. Okay, I get it. And that was Brock Lesnar. At number 30.
I don't get it. Brock Lesnar did not have to win the Royal Rumble to get a title shot at WrestleMania.
No. Brock Lesnar did not even have to appear in this match. Three things that piss me off. Just
go ahead.
Let
it ride.
This match.
I hope one of them is one I have on my list.
Okay. Number one, Lesnar's involvement. Every time he comes in for a last minute thing in order to like dominate a match, it just makes me groan in agony because it's like Daffy Duck's last magic trick in that old Looney Tunes skit where he's fighting bugs on stage and then he brings out that magic trick that makes him explode and then the crowd wants more and then Daffy says, I know, but I can only do it once. That is what I think of whenever Lesnar is introduced as a last-minute entrant into anything, and it just makes me want to beat the crap out of someone. Number two, the stuff that they set up with Mickey James and the Women's Rumble with the Knockout title, there was a lot of speculation about who they were going to bring in with the Men's Rumble, and it drew everybody into this Forbidden Door idea, but none of that happened, and I knew it wasn't going to happen, but it was still frustrating. Number three, the celebrity involvement. I cannot stand celebrity involvement in professional wrestling and them dragging out Johnny Knoxville and Bad Bunny to be involved in this whole thing and the way that turned out, especially the fact that Bad Bunny eliminated somebody.
Go ahead and finish, and I want to say something after you get through. Tony, hold on. Let him finish. Because I got something to say.
Okay,
after.
It just boggles my mind that guys like Nakamura, who they got the Intercontinental title on right now, could get unceremoniously dumped in the first part of the match. That, and when they announced AJ Styles as number one, I was hoping that he could make it all the way to the end and at least make something credible out of himself, and the fact that they had Big E in there, they had McIntyre back in, and those two idiots, Corbin and his flunky at the end, that drove me nuts too. It just, there were just so many things about this match that were just like nails on a chalkboard for me, that just made me want to reach through the screen and strangle Bruce Pritchard.
But that's something that bothered me more than the celebrities in this match. Shane McMahon.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I forgot all about that. He had absolutely no business in there whatsoever. In fact, Bad Bunny had more business in that match than Shane McMahon.
Exactly.
Oh.
Let me speak on a couple of things.
Okay.
I agree with you 100% all the way up to Shane McMahon and Bad Bunny. I knew he was going to say Shane McMahon. And this is the reason why with Shane. Shane has always done something at WrestleMania every so often. Always have. Him and Kevin Owens had their thing, and they went right back to that.
They went straight to it.
Right. I liked how they did that, because at least he didn't come back and just was there just on some dumb stuff. He had a purpose. And I can see that him and Kevin Owens is probably or somebody is going to have a match at WrestleMania. Okay, that's a given. The owner's son wants to get in it. Yeah, it's going to happen. But Bad Bunny, I got to totally disagree with you on this one.
I do.
This is not like Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah.
This is not Johnny Knoxville. Johnny Knoxville is a dumbass. He's not a jackass. He's a dumbass that should never be allowed in a wrestling ring whatsoever. This man, you could tell, has not trained. He has not put the work. He has not put the time. He has not put
the
effort.
He hasn't even been in the sun.
Exactly.
He hasn't even been in the sun. Did you notice that the man looked like a bleached-out sock in that ring?
He
looked absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
He had Clorox. He had the Clorox going on. He definitely did. But my thing is, Bad Bunny puts his energy into that ring.
Yeah.
He puts it into it. He trains. This is the thing that I wish they should have made a story out of, actually. Bad Bunny trains when he's not on the road. He trains in wrestling.
Now you can tell.
He was training before Damian Priest thing. He was training with Damian Priest. He trained after. Now, and he's going to keep training. The man purely loves the sport. So when it comes to somebody like him, I have no problem with that dude being in there doing what he do. He should have dumped somebody out, especially the way he did what he did last year and surprised everybody. He should have dumped somebody out. I think it would have been a disservice for him not to dump somebody out. Now, it's funny when he got in the face of Lesnar. I thought that was funny, but
he took that up.
I get that
too.
Part too, but I get that though. He's from the streets. He don't back down from nobody. You know what I'm saying? Lesnar thinks he's this big tough MMA dude. He don't back down from nobody. Even there's a big weight difference, a size difference. Some hands is gonna fly.
Jesus Christ, that's a lot of snow.
So they inadvertently made a story out of that I don't think they intended to do. I think Bad Bunny deserves a lot of respect for what he does. A lot of respect.
No, I definitely agree with you on that.
Now, we've gotten through that horrific card. I'm not bleeding. I don't have any sores orificing on my skin. We all could basically agree that this pay-per-view was, or I'm sorry, premium live event. What the heck is it? PLE. It's a PLE.
Whatever the hell it was painful to get through, and it was paint by the numbers, and it did not make me excited for the WrestleMania that it's the beginning of the road to. This road to WrestleMania is under construction and has a hell of a lot of traffic cones on it. I would like to
That's
hear Ty's ideas.
William Fulks was in the thread last night. He said the only part he liked about the pay-per-view was the credits.
Oh, wow. You know, your production team is awesome. Your video team is awesome. What you put on the video is crap.
Here's my problem with the pay-per-view. Historically, Royal Rumble is my favorite pay-per-view. Historically, like, I look forward to Royal Rumble more than Mania. And this was just a complete letdown. Like, and I think the thing that worries me is, like, if Rumble was this bad and this is the road to WrestleMania, what kind of shit show are we in for?
Well, yep. Royal Rumble is supposed to be like sex and pizza. Even when it's bad, it's good. But in this case, this pizza's been sitting out for quite a bit, and
Because that's the crazy part. That's why Royal Rumble was always a good pay-per-view, because like you said, like you can honestly not mess it up. And
oh, they tricked. They showed us that they could on this one.
Yeah.
Oh, they tried. Oh, Lord, did they try.
Oh, they didn't try. They executed. They showed they didn't know what the hell they were doing on this one. Put it like this. Royal Rumble was terrible. You know, you say sex with pizza. Well, that was that $5 hole off of Broadway sex. That's what that was.
Oh.
Tony knows what I'm talking about when I say that.
Yeah.
that's that $5 hole off of Broadway sex, because that's terrible. This was a terrible card. I don't know. I'm ready to puke after having to think about this again. But we had a couple of things in here. And one of the things that bothered me, and this is going to perk tie up real quick, because it's about her boo, Jeff Hardy. Why do I find myself in these situations while I'm on these message boards and people just say something stupid?
Well,
I don't know.
But in all honesty, and all the reasons that you guys didn't like it, I get, because when you look at this situation, I completely get it. And I know this is the boo, but I think his comments have more to do with his track record more so than this particular situation directly.
Okay.
I understand.
See, me and Tony is on opposite sides of this, to a point we are. And Ty read it, and I know she emailed me on it. Ty, what did you think of this person's comments? And I know this is your boo, but objectively, what did you think what did you think of this guy's comments? And how did you feel about it? Give us your rundown, Ty.
I'm choosing fucking violence right now. There's a difference, like I said in the group chat, there is a difference between having an opinion and being a straight-up hater. Now, I understand Jeff has been in trouble with the law. He's been in trouble battling his demons and stuff like that. But I sure as fuck ain't gonna sit there and call him no douche, no asshole, or no fucking dick because of what he's been through. If you're gonna sit there and stoop that low and call somebody that, I'm sorry, you're a goddamn hater in my book. You're a fucking hater in my book. And his brother's Matt, and his brother Matt is no better. But I'm not gonna talk about that right now. This is about Jeff. I didn't like the comments he made. I read the comments that this person posted the other day, and I wanted to get involved, but I said to myself, don't do it. Because if it doesn't have anything to do with you, don't get involved.
I got a habit of getting involved because I believe
people
should
be
told the straight up truth.
Because I saw the comments you posted about it yesterday. I saw it, and I agree with you on the comments 1,000%. Now, before I called in, I read that his drug test came back negative, so WWE can go fuck themselves.
Yeah. And let me give a little background on this. So listeners out there know what we're talking about. Some of them will... I mean, a lot of them will, but some of them won't. This was dealing with the incident where Jeff Hardy just walked off. He did not want to be there. They basically said, go to rehab. And he's like, well, I don't want to go to rehab. And they fired him. They let him go.
Well, like I said, he doesn't need to go to rehab because I'm sorry for cutting you off. I don't mean to, but... He doesn't need to go to rehab because his drug test results came back negative. So, like I said, WWE telling Jeff to go to rehab, he don't need to go to rehab. And WWE can go fuck themselves for telling him that, even though he had no drugs in his system.
Right. Let me go ahead and let me read the comment that this gentleman made. We're just going to call him Josh. I seriously do not understand this. This guy has proven time and time again he doesn't give a shit about wrestling. Between alcohol, drugs, his band, his art, motocross, his stupidity, being butthurt, being overwhelmed. He's damn near had every excuse to book for no showing, walking out, not being able to walk, getting injured. He literally walked out of the match on his fans and people say good for him. Go be with your brother. Dude should have been out of the business a year ago. Now, let me read my response.
Right there.
Hold on, Ty. Let me read my response.
Okay.
Josh, this truly shows that you're a partial to the WWE with this statement and not seeing what's going on here. Hardy was sick of what WWE was doing to him. He left. They thought he was on drugs. He knew he wasn't, but was not going to let them know he was clean because it was part of a deal they made. They fired him, and he wants out, which I believe part of the agreement they made is you stay clean, blah, blah, blah. If there's any suspicion, we'll do a drug test. If you don't do the drug test, you're fired. He saw that loophole. He found a loophole like WWE puts in their contracts when they get rid of people, which is true. And he got rid of the WWE. That's why he wants his results, and it took the WWE 6 weeks to send them to him. They figured out what he did when it was too late, so they stalled so he couldn't go anywhere else. You should be ashamed of yourself for not telling the true side of it or take off your blinders. Because there is a company behind you sticking it where the sun doesn't shine. We talk about Hardy not giving a shit about wrestling, his fans, etc. But ignore that the WWE has ignored wrestling, its fans, and him personally. But you say he should be out of wrestling a long time ago. Why? Because he doesn't like the company you put your lipstick, small skirt, and pom-poms on to cheer for them. Sorry if you or your friends get mad. But this is the truth. Anyone that thinks like you do, sir, is not a pro wrestling fan, but a WWE fan, period. Now, he did respond, and this is funny, okay?
Yeah, I forgot to screenshot that part, too.
Who said jack shit about WWE? What WWE has or hasn't done has no bearing on Jeff. Huh? When Jeff walked out at Victory Road so fucked up he could barely stand, was that because of WWE? No. When he took a year off to do his motocross, was he a WWE? No, he was wrestling for ROH. Didn't care about the fans there. How many times has he refused rehab? He has a selfish, irresponsible douche in the fact that he does. Yet you don't like WWE so much. That you give a pass to his behavior and put it on WWE is pathetic. Really? Oh, I'm really about to read him. WWE has taken from people's rehab.
That's what pissed me off right there.
Let me finish. WWE has paid for people's rehabs, even if they only had a cup of coffee in the company and haven't been under the contract in ages. Their creative might suck, but that will help someone fight their demons. Jeff keeps going back to WWE. He knows the schedule. He knows the creative. He knows the situation. And yet he keeps signing new contracts and taking their money because all that he cares about. Then when he either fails too many drug tests or gets burnt out around the time another Fed is coming up, he finds a way to get fired and steal money from what Fed where he can stretch his creative ways. It's a joke. All right. Ty, say what you're going to say, and then I'm about to let him have it.
Okay. I'm going to let him have it, too. Like I said before, there's a difference between stating your opinion, just like you did, on Facebook, and being a hater. Now, everybody in their lifetime has had maybe one or two jobs before they're doing what they do now, where they're at the point where they get sick and tired of that job and they want to go do something else. In this case, Jeff was fucking fed up with the WWE and he wanted out of it. Let me ask y'all this. If you had a job, if y'all have a job now and you're sick and tired of that job, would you want out of that job and want to go look for another job?
Depends on how much money I was making.
Me personally, yes. Okay. And especially, that's the situation I was in here in Indianapolis. I wanted out of my job, and that's why I'm working for I'm a personal banker now instead of working at a wireless company now.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Things with T-Mobile. No, things with the merger. Oh, we could talk about that later, but the merger with Sprint and T-Mobile was horrible for anybody on the Sprint side. Horrible.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we got to talk about that later. All right, go ahead, Ty. Sorry.
Okay. Basically, Jeff wanting out of WWE is like somebody, you know, wanting out of their shit job that they're sick and tired of and they want to go do something else. If Jeff wants to go wrestle, if Jeff wants to wrestle for another wrestling company like AEW or, well, he was already with Impact and ROH is on hiatus and, or New Japan or anything like that, that's his business. And like I said, he tested negative. I just read about it before calling in the show. And, you know, I was disappointed at the comments he made, calling him a douche and stuff like that. And like I said, everybody's entitled to an opinion, but if you're going to say stuff like that, honestly, I'm going to think you're coming off as a hater.
Now, I know you're going to lay in on him, but can I say something before you lay in on him?
Okay.
Do you know? I messaged you. I see both sides of this. Me personally, because I know Josh, and he's been more of a ROH TNA guy than a WWE guy. So I get his whole thing, but it had nothing to do with WWE. He's had an issue with Jeff Hardy for years, for shit that he's done in the past. This shit that came up now is just an excuse, to be honest with you. That's why I said I can see both sides of it. Because when Jeff Hart, Jeff Hart was innocent this time, but there's a lot of times he wasn't. There's a lot of times he let down fans, and Josh is one of them. I get his point.
Oh, jeez.
No, I do. I mean, it's more like Antonio Brown. Like, I mean, yeah, and I said when he first did it, I didn't think he was on it. Like, me personally, that was just way out of his contract. And it turned out to be that was it. Jeff Hardy wanted out of that contract. And I knew that because, like, a couple of weeks ago, before that, there was a tweet about them, him and Matt Hardy being uniting. And, like, you never know if it could happen. You never know when it could happen or where it would happen. I mean, but the tweet kind of alluded to, like, there was something going that them two going to get back together. And then this happened. I never thought it was drugs at all. I didn't. I thought it was him getting out of his contract.
For me,
I'm not mad at him for that. Because the WWE can let you go at the drop of a dime. Look at all the great wrestlers they have let go at the drop of a dime. All the young talent. And realistically, Jeff Hardy can't walk into Vince McMahon's office and ask for his release and they're going to grant it. Then they grant Mustafa Ali's release. They damn sure not going to grant Jeff Hardy a release. So I get why Jeff did it, because sometimes you got to do what you got to do to get out of your contract. But the comment that he made was more about his track record and his past than that particular situation that was going on right then and there.
Okay, Rob, go ahead. I'm waiting.
Okay, well, this whole situation is very weird. And let me start, first of all, by saying that Jeff Hardy is a very talented and capable person in the ring. He's highly skilled, and I'm very glad that the drug screen came back negative, and we know that he hasn't relapsed back into his former problems for now. I'm glad of that. I watched the match that the highlights of the match that he walked out on, and even though he wasn't on in there was something not quite right going on in that match, and I'm not exactly sure what it was. I think that he may have taken a bump wrong and have gotten knocked loopy some kind of way. And then when he walked out of the match, I think that it was initially for his own safety, and then the whole thing got blown up out of proportion because people, like, started making assumptions based on his past. And I think that is the catalyst for this whole issue blowing up. Now,
yeah.
Whether Jeff wanted out of his contract at that time or whether this developed after the fact, I'm not sure. But it's just weird to me how both parties went about it. I mean, the WWE
yeah.
firing him immediately before the drug screen came back was bad enough, but then it was just a strange situation all around. If he wanted out of the contract, and I don't blame him if he wanted out of the contract, because of the rash of releases that WWE has been doing lately, some of them, like, for bizarre and ridiculous reasons, this one would be just another one of many. It's just... you know, I can understand Jeff wanting out of his contract and wanting the release, but the fact that it has garnered this much attention in the way that it has, especially since he hasn't fallen off the wagon apparently, and that it has nothing to do with drugs, thank God. I don't know. It's just hard to. It's hard to see who's right and who's wrong, except that WWE, like, jumped the gun with their assumptions, and Ty's right. That was they definitely were unprofessional in the way that they let him go. But if he wanted to leave in the first place, he should have come to them and said that prior to the match in question. It's a very weird situation, but Jeff Hardy is certainly not a douche, and he's on the same kind of level as Rey Mysterio in terms of what he means to the business and the way that he helped to innovate it. And as long as he stays clean, he can stay in the business for as long as he wants to and as long as it's healthy for his body. I've got no problem with that. So it's just a weird situation that I'm not really sure that we see the whole picture for yet.
All right, we're getting down to almost a half hour, so let me get into this real quick. Because yeah, this is I get your points. I get everybody's points. But I'm sorry, I got a big problem with this whole thing. And it's not so much. Let me just say this: it's not so much as what he said at first. It's the douchebag. I got to say, the douchebag and everything shows an ulterior motive. the thing that that makes me mad is that I'm not perfect. I've walked through life. I've screwed up things. I mean, perfect example is my kids. You know, I haven't been the best father. You know, there's some things that I've done to screw that up. And, you know, I love my kids to death. But you're saying that they should throw me away because I made a mistake? I'd love to see you as a parent because you got to make a mistake from day one changing the diaper, let alone, you know, sitting up here trying to go through everything with their teenage years and baby's mama's tripping and stuff like that. So with that being said, it kind of bothers me at a point of where you got these people to go around and say, well, he did this in his past. He did this in his past. It don't matter what he did in the past. It's what he's doing now. He was clean.
Exactly.
He did everything he was supposed to. He fulfilled his promise. He did the work. The problem is not that. The problem is the WWE. The problem is sitting up here because WWE don't know how to be creative, how to use this gentleman, how to use him properly. Give him the proper respect that he deserves by being in that ring and what he's done for the company. It's appreciation that the WWE seems that they have not gotten through their blood. They can't seem that they can be appreciative to a wrestler, but the wrestler should be always appreciative to the WWE, and that's wrong. Your company must show appreciation to its employees for it to survive. And this is why the WWE is dying right now, because it doesn't do that. It is ridiculously and sickeningly insulting to a lot of the wrestlers, especially from back in that day, because of what they're doing to change things, to make a mockery of the sport, and to also insult them personally because they can't get their way.
Yeah, it's a problem across the board.
Hold on, Rob. The thing I have a problem with Joshua is when you have fans like this, gentlemen, that will walk around and walk and honestly, if you look at what he said and listen to what he said, he sounds just like a rabid Trump supporter. He sounds like a rabid Trump supporter to where these guys can do no wrong. He did wrong in the past, but guess what? Yo, even though he did right this time, we're still going to use his pants against him, strike him, and treat him like crap, and it's all his fault. Guess who that reminds me of, Tony?
Where is Tony?
I'm not here.
Oh, okay.
Guess who that reminds me of?
It reminds you of Trump. You know what it reminds me of? Reminds me of a wrestling fan who's still mad at Jeff Hardy for what he did in TNA. And I get
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what situation has happened in this last year or two does that remind you of when idiots have been saying stuff like that? When I say it, you're going to flip out.
I probably am. I'm drawing a blank here.
George Floyd. He had a past that he did stuff wrong in. He did wrong. He was doing right in that situation that day. Somebody did wrong by him, and everybody want to blame George Floyd. The police can do no wrong. No, they can never do that. No. And the whole while, this dude sit up here and mess that dude over. And but the victim's name is being drugged to the mud.
Yeah.
This is the same exact thing. And I'm not saying all Trump supporters are bad. I know Trump supporters are the coolest. I don't know what. I'm friends with a few of them. My thing is that mentality is the problem. That rabid, and the key word I said when I said this was rabid Trump supporter. Just like Trump said himself, he could be found shooting somebody in the middle of Fifth Street in New York, and nobody would convict him. Nobody would arrest him. Those are those rabid supporters. That's the problem. If you are a fan of anything, okay, it could be Taco Bell. That could be your thing. It could be bowling. That could be your thing. A bowling team. A football team. All right? you're not going to say everything they do is right. I'm mad at the Bears right now because I think they screwed up and got a coach that's just crap.
And now Minnesota Vikings are interviewing a coach that I thought should have been had a job, but that's a different subject altogether.
Right, but it comes to the same thing. But it comes to my point of if you are a fan of something, you must be objective of that thing. You cannot always say it's right. You must be objective. You must hold it up when it's correct and tell the truth when it's wrong. WWE is wrong and has been wrong for a while. And I'm not an AEW person. I mean, I am an AEW fan. Don't get me wrong. But I am not a rabid AEW fan because everything AEW does isn't right either.
No. But
I am a pro wrestling fan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I am a fan that believes in the sport of pro wrestling. I don't go by labels. I go by the sport because I think the sport has enough problems with all its own of surviving than rather us start separating everything and putting labels on it. This dude is way out of line. And fans like this, to me, they need to really get off a computer and stop saying this. Because, see, everybody knows I ain't got no problem with saying what I say in somebody's face. I will walk up to them and say it in three different languages. And if I got Rosetta Stone, I probably would get four.
This is me playing devil's advocate, though. So we're not happy with some negative stuff that he said about Jeff Hardy, some name-calling. There's people in a group that loves Hulk Hogan, and I give no fucks.
Oh, God.
Damn, second one. So I look at it from the standpoint where, like, I call Hogan names. I voice my opinion on how I feel about him. I voice my opinion on how I feel about Bayley. I voice my opinion on how I feel about Becky. And I don't really give a damn if you like it or not. Just like people give opinions about people I like. Like, I get mad. You say a bad word about Ric Flair, and people have. It sometimes take a lot of me not to hit that that delete button. You out of the group.
Wow.
For Josso, really think it's a situation where I really think it's all about the past. I'm not saying it's right because right now he's innocent. I think Josh is holding on. I honestly think Josh is holding on to Victory Road, and never got past
so
that.
Too.
Because Josh is more of an ROH and TNA fan than WWE fan. He's not really a huge WWE fan, which is why I really don't think it had anything to do with WWE. For him, he don't like Jeff Hardy and probably haven't liked Jeff Hardy since Victory Road.
Well, he needs to get over the past.
I agree with Mastermind. I also agree with Tony, but I do want to add nobody is perfect, whether you're a single parent, whether you're not a single parent, pro wrestler. I don't give a shit. Nobody is perfect. And Mastermind has stated he's not perfect either. Nobody is perfect. I don't give a damn what profession you work in. What happens in the past, that's in the past. What the fuck are you doing now? Focus on now. Don't worry about what happened in your past. Focus on what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got to say.
I'm a guy that holds grudges. I don't let shit go, so I get that. Is it right? No, it's not. That's my flaw. That's a huge flaw that I have. I don't let stuff go from the past.
I mean,
there's very few things that'll come up where I will have that hitch, but yeah. Yeah,
no,
I get what you're saying.
You want to get a laugh when you talk about me holding a grudge. I might post something in the sports group and tag Cooper on it, okay? He knows how I hold grudges.
Uh-oh.
But I'll throw it out there jokingly, though. I joke about, that bitch Becky, that bitch Bailey, but I legit hate them. I can't stand them. I'd rather not see them in wrestling ever again. I did not feel bad when Bailey got hurt. That meant that's a year I don't have to watch her on TV.
You're like
Jim Cornette and Becky's
hate.
Like Kenny Omega.
Right.
Oh God, why y'all have to bring my side boo into this?
Because your side boo got problems, man. I'm sorry. I'm just keeping it 100 with you. Your side, we got problems.
I'm fully aware he's got a Japanese fetish. I'm fully aware of that.
Fetish?
Her side boo need more thigh time. That's the problem. Get a little bit more time with your thigh. Maybe a little more grounded.
That's beyond a fetish, man. I'm surprised that dude don't have computer robots in his house.
Oh, God.
I am Maki Ito. I am here to fly on you. Okay, give me a crossbody, baby. Yeah, I mean, what the hell?
You know, I left to go to the bathroom, and I come back, and we're in a completely different conversation. How did we get here?
I don't know.
I'm kidding. I've been here the whole time, but I still don't know how we got to this conversation. Because
she said her side boo, Kitty. I said Kitty Omega. She said her side boo, and I just had to get real on Kitty for a second because...
Number one, Japanese women are quite attractive. Number two,
hence why Kenny has a fetish for them.
Exactly.
No, they are quite attractive, but they're not that attractive. I'm sorry.
Oh man. Okay.
They
well,
are,
but Japanese women will do whatever you ask them to do, whenever you ask it to, and that's an attractive quality.
Traditional Japanese women will be that way. Modern Japanese women, not so much. It's a question of traditional values there.
That would get boring, though. I would be like Eddie Murphy off of Coming to America. Fart like a dog. Arf. Hop on one leg.
But Bobby, the thing is,
anybody ever been would have been the complete opposite of that. So I want to try that out for a minute. But like, you can go first like a dog to my ass. I need to try that because all the women I ever been with, like, you must have lost your damn mind.
And I'd be like, yep, I have. Go ahead and do it.
Well, Bobby, sometimes you strive on conflict, which is why you want a relationship, with a woman that's got like, fight in her. So,
hold on, wait. I don't strive on conflict. I just like somebody with their own personality.
I get that, though.
That's my thing.
Well, all right.
I don't want to be fighting like five out of 7 days of the week, but at the same time, I don't want it to be like, whatever you say, Your Highness. I don't want that either.
I understand. That was an overstatement on my part. That's a flaw of mine. I can oversimplify things. But
I mean, if I'm taking a bath, is she going to come out the bathtub? Your royal penis is clean, Your Highness. No.
What?
I don't want that.
I want my raw penis clean.
I can do it myself. I don't need no chick doing it for me.
It's better when they do
no.
it.
No.
Now, wait a minute. If you can do it yourself, why do you ever leave the house?
I don't.
Okay, that question's answered. Now, let me get back to the clean world here for a second. And I agree that nobody should be calling Jeff Hardy names. He's earned the respect of the wrestling world, and there's absolutely no reason for anyone to harangue him over his past if he's clean right now. That's the bottom line on that situation.
That's true.
Whether or not he should have walked out of the match the way he should have, or whether he should have like gotten fired, or whether he should have asked for his release is a completely separate issue. Jeff Hardy has earned the respect of the entire wrestling community, and if he is clean right now, and that test says that he is, then his past should not matter, and he should be respected. And WWE should respect their athletes more. And they don't.
Exactly.
And they do that to a lot more of their athletes than to Jeff Hardy. He's just the latest example.
Speaking of that.
Guys, I'm going to say, can we move on to the New Day? Because we only got 20 minutes left.
I'll say that again.
Unless you got something else you want to cover, because we need to talk about New Year's too today.
Oh, yes. I was going to go somewhere else, but, yeah, I think New Day needs to be
I'm looking at time and like, oh, man, we need to jump into them.
Why did they do Big E like that?
Man.
I wanted Big E to win the Rumble. That was my pick to win the Rumble, and they do him like that? That's some BS.
Yeah. They're putting them down to positivity and pancakes again.
Oh, God.
I mean, snuck it in. I mean, it was just, I mean, they were just like, just sliding in. Like, all of a sudden, like, yeah, Kofi and Big E teaming for the first time in a year and a half. Now that he's back on SmackDown, and it's something moving. I'm like, whoa, when the hell did this happen?
Yeah. They just do what they want. Screw what the fans want.
And they're doing Big E just like they did Kofi, though, because Kofi got squashed by Brock Lesnar. It's like, okay, take your ass back to the tag teams. We done with you in single competition.
Mm-hmm.
And Big E was also my pick up until Friday when I saw he was teaming back up with Kofi Kingston. I'm like, oh, yeah, his push is over. Which I don't get why his push was over. The only reason I would put Big E back with the New Day is for him to fucking lay him out, go full-fledged monster heel.
I can see that.
Stop the pancake stuff, stop the dancing around, be a legit big monster.
Well, see, you're thinking logical again.
Oh, no, I said this is what I would do.
Exactly.
The reality is I'm gonna put Big E back with Kofi, and I'm just gonna let him entertain me from now on with all his little, all that little stuff. It's just, I'm just over it, you know. It's just like you got a legit star here, and you're not using them right.
All the members of the New Day, because that gimmick worked. Because they got that gimmick over, they've now been pigeonholed with it. It's kind of like Mark Hamill and Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
Mark Hamill will be Luke Skywalker until the end of time because he made that role iconic. The same thing is going on with Xavier Woods, Kofi Kingston, and Big E. The New Day was supposed to be a joke to begin with, but then they got it over, and it became one of the biggest things that WWE had, and it moved merch, and now they don't want it to stop, and now they want to keep those three together in perpetuity like the Freebirds and just turn them into that sort of thing for life, and... unless they do something drastic with turning Big E heel and making him do the whole Shield turn, but again, that's logical, and logic doesn't necessarily apply here.
No, because the problem in this situation is, like, they serve their purpose. It's like, they got over a gimmick that Vince didn't give them that gimmick to, like, for them to get over. Vince gave them that gimmick to release them. Be thousands and hours here. That's how I felt from the beginning. I still feel that way. He gave him that gimmick for them to fail and for him to fire their asses.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He was looking at that call like, oh, I can get out of this? Are you serious? Oh, wait a minute. I can turn down a drug test and they can fire me? Oh, yeah, let's do that. Shh. Don't tell nobody. We're going to do this. Don't tell nobody. You want to do the drug test? No, I don't want to. No. Go get your egg. No. Not happening. They fired him and he got what he wanted. And it was too late when they figured out what happened.
But my thing with Big E moving over to SmackDown is I think Big E is too big of a star for him moving to SmackDown to be an afterthought. Like what?
I think it's too late for that.
I'll be honest. Like, when you move a star from one show to the other, if it's not in the draft, it's like, hey, DM got together, they did this, they did that, they make a big deal out of it. This was just like nothing happened. like Raw got, like basically, you know, Raw just gave him a SmackDown, and Raw didn't want anything from Big E. Like, it's just disrespectful, in my opinion, that they just slid him over there like it was nothing.
Yeah, same thing with Kofi. Kofi had a great run and an inspirational run, and then they used Lesnar to completely 86 it, and it made no damn sense whatsoever. They could have split off all three of the New Day into like great single stars, and they like tried it with all three of them. They half-assed it and then cut it off at the ankles. It's complete.
They don't know what the hell they don't know what the hell they're doing with them.
Exactly. They just pigeonholed them into the New Day tag team, and that's all they know how to do, because it was never supposed to work in the first place, but now that it did, it's the only thing they want to try.
Yeah.
And this is why I like New Japan and Impact and AEW way better than WWE.
Oh my God.
Amen.
Why do I get struck with the New Japan every rip?
Because I love New Japan. I'm glad they're back on TV. But right now they're doing like old episodes. So y'all probably ain't gonna see new episodes till about March.
Let me know when, because I got YouTube TV and it takes all ROH, but it's all the old stuff though, so I don't really click on it, because like,
well,
I don't have a lot of time to watch a lot of wrestling. I really don't, and I really don't want to watch old stuff.
Japan,
so when the new stuff starts, let me know.
Well, it starts March 3rd. New Japan's
remind
doing
me.
Episodes.
Sorry, you know I'm
okay.
Old. I don't remember nothing.
Yeah, you old. You don't remember nothing.
I don't remember.
Hey, Miss Youngin.
I gotta remind some of y'all.
Excuse me, Miss Youngin. I'm sorry that we forget about our age now, but it's up to you young women.
Well, I forget, hey,
to come around
well,
and help us old folks out.
Hey, remember, I forget stuff too, you know.
What was that?
I have known you for like, I don't know how many years. I've never known you forget anything. You are on it. That's why you're the first lady in my group. The first lady of the wrestling group and the sports group.
Uh-oh.
Well, sometimes I don't
post.
Well, every now and then I'll post in the sports group.
Yeah.
When can I be in the court of one of them groups?
When can you what?
When can I be in the
he
court
said,
of one of these
he
groups?
He said, when can he be in the court of the group?
We can work that out.
Nobody loves me anymore.
It's been me and Ty forever. We went from a big admin team to like me and Ty. We can work that out.
Oh,
now,
man.
You had admins
is...
in the wrestling group in the past, but they're not there anymore.
Yeah, they're still there. There's not admins anymore. The only admins are me and you.
Now, is New Japan returning to Access TV? Is that where they're coming on again, or where are they going to
be at?
Yeah,
I guess they worked out a new TV deal or something like that.
Okay.
I wish they would get on something else besides Access. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not really sure. I mean, the New Japan style is a... It's an acquired taste, I guess you could say, and it needs to expand its audience in the States, and AEW is doing some of that, because part of their style is an amalgamation between Lucha and Japanese Strong. So the more that AEW catches on, the bigger audience that New Japan is going to get in America. So right now, Access TV is as big as they've gotten right now, but they could get bigger over the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I agree.
They've got drawing more. Once they get their ratings up on Access, and then draw the interest of the bigger networks.
Mm-hmm. They also need
well,
to
they have...
not.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, they also need to not be in syndication so much. Ty was talking about how there are no new episodes until March. Back when they were on Access TV before, they were like on a 2 or 3 month delay at least. So they need to air like current programming in the United States, and they would
they have to. Because the wrestling community is too web-based. So, like, if I read about something, like, today, and I don't see it for, like, a month, it's like, yeah, it's like, who cares? I don't care how good the match is. It's almost like, who cares at that point? I already read about this last month.
Yeah, you're basically playing catch-up at that point, and they need to understand that that's not how TV in the U.S. works.
Well, guys, I don't know if you see this right now, but football game, overtime, 24-24, 49ers and Rams. 49ers is about to kick a field goal in overtime. If he hits this, the 49ers are going to the Super Bowl. He kicks it up.
Wait. What game are you watching? I'm watching Cincinnati, Kansas City.
I watch the 49ers and Rams.
I'm sitting in my kitchen on the phone talking about wrestling.
Well, I'm not in my kitchen, but wow. Well, that wasn't the decider.
Bobby, get off the NFL Network.
Hey, how did you know what channel I was on?
because that was like the last time they played each other. That ain't today.
That's not today.
No.
So what happened to the other game?
The 49ers and the Rams are playing tonight at 6:30. NFL Network.
Well, I'm done.
No. And here's how I know they tricked you, because they almost got me too.
I was thinking that was the game. I'm like, oh, snap, look at this. No, it ain't the game. I just got bamboozled.
That's a game the 49ers beat them, man. Like, make it to the playoffs. And that's how I know they got you, because they almost got me, too.
And see, that's why syndication is not good for New Japan, because it will trick people into thinking that they're watching something that has that is currently happening, but has already happened.
No, right now. Right now is Kansas City's down by 3, and they got the ball with like about 3 minutes left.
Oh, for real?
Mm-hmm. On CBS. Yeah, okay. I know we're talking about that. I turn the volume down, but I keep the game on. I need my football.
That's what I do.
We got this weekend, and we got the Super Bowl. Oh, and 2 weeks, so I might be sick.
Yeah.
I might not be able to make the podcast in two weeks.
In 2 weeks, we might not do the podcast. We might not do it that week. Or we might do it a different day.
I see. Well, the only reason I'm even interested in the Super Bowl is because it's an excuse to drink your ass off and not go to work the next day.
And I'm looking forward to the halftime show this year. I've always looked forward.
Yes.
I cannot wait for the halftime show.
Really? Who's doing it this year?
Snoop Dogg,
Eminem, and Snoop Dogg, and Mary J. Blige is going to be there too.
Yeah. I can't wait.
This could be the best one since Prince.
Didn't Michael Jackson do a halftime show?
I don't remember him doing one.
I know Janet did, but I don't know if Mike did.
Yeah, Janet did. Mm. I like that one, too. He got a lot of heat over that. I loved it. I don't care how old Prince was. Let me see it.
Janet was in control.
I love Janet Jackson since she was like Kenny in Good Times.
Exactly.
That's how old I am.
Oh, God. God. Talking about a childhood crush? Oh.
It's always been my childhood crush.
Yeah, I know she had a documentary Friday night, Janet Jackson did.
I know it. I missed it.
I missed it, too.
My mom recorded it.
My mom actually told me about it.
I heard Janet is a freak, too.
I heard that, too. I liked it before I heard that. That just filled it up for me.
Boy. That is just,
oh,
yeah.
Man.
That's gonna be nasty.
We have gone off
man.
Into completely different tangents on the podcast tonight.
Oh, yeah.
We cover everything. We cover everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's called control.
Plus, we got the 400 in the Royal Rumble thread last night.
Right on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have a format. We just don't stick to it. Like, we do our best. I think we'll stick to it more next week.
Format. It's fun.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I had a good time this week because got a lot of stuff off the chest.
Yeah.
It's about to go down. Oh, don't forget, yeah, get ready in March and April because we're about to hit some of these shows.
I cannot wait. I'm looking forward to that. I'll be honest with you, though. I got tickets to this Monday Night Raw in 2 weeks in Indianapolis, and I'm about ready to tell them I got COVID and get my money back for this shit. So I don't know if I want. Man, if Raw sucks tomorrow, I know that's funny. I really might need to get my money back for this that show in 2 weeks.
Hold on. Wait. How many tickets you got?
I got 2 tickets. Me and my girl. It's on Valentine's Day.
Oh, it sure as hell is.
The day after the Super Bowl. Here's where I get the tickets. So when they said, like, Raw's going to be here on February 14th, I don't say that, like, man, that would be great to go to, but there's no way Tina will go for that. Tina looked at me like, we should go. Man, I went on Ticketmaster. After she said we should go, I was on Ticketmaster ordering tickets. Like, let me get this before she realized what she just agreed to.
Now, if you've got a woman that wants Valentine's Day tickets for a wrestling event, that's a keeper.
Yeah. Oh, without
a doubt. Yeah. Yeah. She doesn't want the dinner and the candlelight and. No,
right.
She wants to go see some violence. That's a keeper. That's a keeper.
You had to let me know. Give me the seats where you're all sitting at. I'm going to see if there's some available. We might go watch this together and report on it.
Yeah, I'll pull them up and I don't know.
I at first was like, but since you're going, I might go.
Okay.
Well, unfortunately, I can't join you. I've gotten myself so broke that I couldn't leave town if it took a quarter to go around the world. So, yeah, I'm pretty much stuck where I'm at.
But if it takes a quarter, what would you do with a dime?
Maybe half and half? I don't know.
But I take it to Ohio with a dime.
We got 90 seconds left. I want to thank Tony Motown Allen, the fabulous Ty, and Robert Black for being on this program. Oh, my God, he said half and half. I got to get out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to FTW Future Funk Focus. I am your host, the Mastermind, Bob Rogers, Tony Motown Allen, Ty, and Robert Black, all saying a bit to you. And we will definitely see you in the future. No half and half involved. We're giving you the whole darn thing. We will see you later.
Bye, guys.
Oh, my God. Oh. You know it's all about the phone!